Amen. Thank you, Father, for the word. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we call upon you now to minister to your people. Speak to the hearts and minds, Father, those that are hungry for you, those that are hurting, those that need healing, those that need, Father God, to know and understand the power of your word that is available to them. Amen. Brad and Kathy and I had lunch on Wednesday. I knew before I came here that even though I didn't have a booking at BCK this trip, I was going to be speaking here. And when I saw them on Wednesday and they opened a door of opportunity, I said, "Thank you, Lord. Now what do you want to say to them and to these people? What is your heart for BCK and for the leaders of BCK? And for those that are here as guests tonight and you're dealing with issues in your life the same way we all are, what do you want to say to your people tonight, Lord?" The first thing he gave me was a personal word for Brad and Kathy. They gave me permission to read it. I want you to know that this is what God is saying to your leaders, because where God takes your leaders, you're going to be following. Amen. He said to them, "You are moving into a new depth of understanding of the leading of the Holy Spirit. You will no longer be led by what people want of you. You will be taught how to discern and discern strongly the move of the Spirit of God versus the misleading of the enemy. It will be as black and white to you. It will enable you to speak with my love, but also with my power to refute the lies of the enemy. There has been and will be for a season yet a winnowing in your lives. I am separating the good from the godly." You understand what he's saying there? I am separating what man considers good from what God says is godly. I am refining the anointing upon you to where you are not satisfied with just some anointing, but are crying out to me for the fullness of my anointing in your lives. I'm bringing you into a season of favor and grace. Favor to enable you to go where I call, and grace to be able to extend your hands to others, enabling them to understand what I am doing in their lives. Be not concerned. Lay each and every issue encountered before me, and allow me to reveal to you the heart and the motive behind each one. Be diligent, but generous with what I bring to you. Use it wisely. Sow it carefully, but sow. Sow your gifts, sow your lives, sow your finances, sow your love, sow your wisdom. Plant, 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 for you are planting your future. Brad, I'm going to leave that with you. Be aware that as God works in the hearts and minds of Pastor Brad and Kathy, that he's going to require eventually the same things from you. They are the shepherds of this flock. So watch where God is taking them. Listen to what God is saying to them and begin to say, "Lord, be it unto me the same way," so that we walk in unity, we walk in harmony, and we walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Lord has given me a message for tonight. When I went home on Wednesday and I started seeking him, he just began unveiling things in my spirit, began to speak to me, began to dictate to me, and I am very excited what he has tonight. Because he said, the kingdom is now, but not yet. Did you hear what he said? The kingdom is now, but not yet. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, it was first announced and declared by John the Baptist in Mark 1, verses 1 through 8, where John the Baptist declared that the kingdom of God and the ruler of that kingdom was about to invade the earth. The earth had been taken over by Satan. The forces of Satan had encompassed, and he was the ruler of the world. But God says, now I'm sending in the first wave. I'm sending in, as on Omaha Beach and Juneau Beach and Sword Beach during the Second World War, when the troops went into Normandy and went into France, and all of your military strategists now will say to you, that was the actual day that there was VE Day, victory in Europe. And that's what God said. The day that Jesus set his foot on this ground, He said, victory on the earth has been accomplished now, but it isn't yet. He was about to establish a beachhead that would eventually lead to the end of the battle against sin and death, where all of the world would worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. And in Mark 1, verses 14 through 15, 1, 14 through 15, Jesus returns after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, and he announces, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's no longer coming, he says, it is here now. So repent and believe in the gospel that I preach. So what he was saying, in effect, is the invasion of the earth by the kingdom of God has begun. It is now. The kingdom of God is now. It's here now. The fulfillment of time, the promise of the ages has come now, but it isn't yet. That's rather puzzling. What does that mean, now but not yet? It means exactly what Jesus said. It means the fullness of time, the appointed moment in all of time that all of creation had been groaning for, all of creation had been waiting for, all of creation had been praying for. The moment was there. It had arrived. The Messiah had come to the earth. The deliverer of God's people, the power, the authority of the kingdom of God was now available to those who would believe the gospel, the good news from God. It was here now. But the completed, fulfilled work is yet to come. The millennial kingdom was not yet. Are you hearing what he's saying? We need to understand why things happen the way they happen on this earth. Why are things going the way they go? Why don't we have complete and total victory every time we pray, every time we lay hands on the sick? How come we don't have the fullness? Because the time isn't yet for the messianic kingdom to rule and reign. While Jesus walked this earth, he demonstrated the power. He demonstrated the authority. He taught the people about the kingdom of God. And then he turned around when he left and he delegated this authority to us, the believer. How many of you believe that? And that this kingdom of God is in direct opposition to the king of this world, currently ruled by Satan. We will have opposition as we enforce the kingdom rule in our lives and throughout the entire world. We will have opposition. We need to understand that. And by and large, the great majority of believers still live in, still operate in the things of the world. Their mind has not been transformed from worldly thinking to kingdom thinking. And therefore, they try to apply kingdom principles using worldly faith, and it doesn't work. They don't get the results that they're looking for. So the kingdom of God is now, but it's not yet. It's not full in our lives. It's not full on the face of the earth yet. The ways of living and speaking, if we stay with these worldly things, if we do not allow the Spirit of God to transform our minds and our words and our way of living and our actions, our thought process, if we do not allow Him to fully change our hearts, then eventually we will come to a time where we begin to wonder, we begin to doubt, we begin to walk in defeat, and we can't understand why doesn't it happen? Has anybody besides me been there? Thank you. It's common to all of us, isn't it? Sometimes if we play around with this stuff long enough, it will cause us to fall away from the Lord if we do not do battle and overcome these thoughts and things that come to us. Jesus said he has enlisted us in his army. Armies mean warfare. Armies mean battle. Armies mean slogging through the mud sometimes. Armies mean we don't always have a steak and potatoes. Sometimes we have to eat K rations. Some of you are shaking your heads. Most of the men are going, yeah, yeah. Been there, done that. God's ways and his words teach us his way of living. He teaches us kingdom living. He teaches how to live in the kingdom now. To have the fullness of the kingdom now, even though it's not yet on the fullness of the earth. We can live in these things. His words teach us his way of living. And he will keep us in health. He will keep us in prosperity and fullness of the abundant life in Christ if we continue to live in the kingdom now. If we don't go back to the world, we can have that life now. It may not be throughout the entire earth yet, but it can be in our lives now. Can you agree with that? All right. Now, Christ, when he came to the earth and he did the completed work, he said on the cross, "It is finished. The battle is over. I have bound the enemy. I have taken away his power to cause you to die from sinning." He didn't say, "I have taken away all of his power yet." He still has power on this earth. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So he has a certain degree of power and authority still on this earth. However, those who have kingdom now have authority over him and all of his works. Isn't that what the word said? The victory over sin, the power of sin in the life of believers has been defeated at the cross. Past tense. There is nothing he can do that shall by any means harm us. He cannot force us to sin. He can only give us suggestions and then we act on it. It's up to us to overcome, to enforce now the kingdom rule in our lives and then destroy the strongholds of Satan in the lives of not only ourselves, but all of those with whom we come in contact, just one by one, just like the troops in Iraq are going door to door, breaking down the strongholds, breaking the power of the enemy, taking out the insurgents and letting the captives go free that are living in those homes. That's what our job is on this earth, is to go into whatever situation God takes us, take down the power of the enemy in that situation and set those captives free so the kingdom of God is now in their lives. One by one. Now, in the meantime, while we are working, while we are fighting, while we are doing the work of the Lord, the enemy sends raids against us, just like any enemy does. He's not going to stand back and go, "Oh, please, get out of here." He's going to come after us with everything he has. And we tend to think, once we've come into the kingdom, there's been a teaching for a long time, that once you come into the kingdom, that's it. I mean, your battle's over. You're going to have nothing but pie in the sky right now. No. The word says we will have warfare the entire time that we are on this earth. And after a while, just like any good army, any good troops, we become battle weary. Ooh, anybody but me been there? We become battle weary, don't we? We become discouraged. We begin to question as to where are we in all of this? How come we're not seeing the fullness of the victory? We begin to question God. Huh, how come they're having better success than I am? How come I'm not seeing this in my life? How come this isn't happening? And we begin to ask ourselves, Brad said this Wednesday and I answered him. He says, "What am I doing wrong?" Don't we say that? Well, the Lord has one word answer for you. Nothing. You aren't doing anything wrong. You are doing right, and that's why he's on your case. He wants you to stop doing what you're doing that is being very effective. And he wants to discourage you. If you were in sin, God would bring his rod and he'd bring you back on the path. He's faithful to bring his children back. If we were doing something wrong, the Lord is bound by his word to be faithful to let you know. And unless he says to you, "Hey, I'm not happy with this in your life," don't go digging up the garden looking for worms. Just be at peace where you are. If there's something God wants you to let you know, he can get the message to you. He'll get it across. See, when the enemy hits you and hits you hard, that means you're a threat to him. And when he comes after you time after time after time after time, he's trying to discourage you. He's trying to get you to back off. He's trying to get you to say, "Oh, this isn't worth it." But we have to take our eyes off of the earthly accomplishments in the kingdom, and we have to look at the eternal. What is this accomplishing in the eternal realm? That's where we put our mind. And if we see one soul a year brought into the kingdom, hallelujah, the enemy has lost the battle. Amen. See, we're like little children when we first start learning to walk upright and start to walk in kingdom principles and things. We'll go, and plop, down we'll go. And then we struggle, and up we get, hanging on to stuff, and then walk around a little bit, and then plop, down we go again. And we keep getting up and walking, and plop, down we'll go. And then after a while, we'll take a few more steps. Don't plop quite so much. Don't make such a big mess. Time after time, we'll get up and start toddling around, and we just get up, fall down, get up, fall down. And sometimes little children get weary. Can you remember when your children were weary, and they would just go, Mama, Daddy, and they want you to pick them up, don't they? That's what God is saying to you right now. Let me pick you up. Let me carry you in my arms. Let me take you off the front lines for a time and a season. When you are weary, you need a Sabbath rest. When we don't take our Sabbath rest, we get weary. Isn't that what the word says? See, the worst thing that a daddy can do is not allow the child to try. Thank you. Not allow a child to try. It's the worst thing you can do to a child. You have to let them try. You have to let them fall. You have to not pick them up every time they cry. And God says, I'm training you. I'm teaching you. I'm about to take off the training wheels is what I'm hearing right now. That isn't in the notes. I'm about to take off the training wheels, which means the flow of the Spirit is going to get much, much stronger. See, this is how people, children, are strengthened to get up, fall down, get up, fall down. Eventually, they stop falling. But then even as teenagers, as even an older child, eventually we'll have times of failure. Nobody's perfect on this earth. We're all going to make mistakes. That's where love and forgiveness walks in. There's times of tripping and falling, times when all of us just want to quit. And I don't know if you're like me. I just want to go in my bedroom and pull those fuzzy covers up over my head and go to the world. I don't want to hear it anymore. I need rest. I need a place of security. I need a place of safety. But does this mean we won't continue to grow or mature and become everything that was originally intended in the embryo of conception in God's heart and mind for our plan? No. It just means we're tired. It just means we need a time of rest. It simply means we need to get away and get with God and let Him refresh us. Now, the Lord has a specific word for BCK. If you don't quit, you won't lose. Are you hearing what He said?
Amen.
It's up to you. If you don't quit, you will not lose. The only way you lose is if you back off. If you don't stop doing good, eventually you will have the fullness of the vision that God has given to you as individuals and as a church. If you don't quit, you won't lose. If we refuse to give up, even when we are weary, God will sustain us in the battle. He promises that. He will provide all that it is required to do what He has set before us. He will give us the strength. He will give us the finances. He'll give us the desire. He'll give us whomever He wants in our church at any given time so that we can do what God has called us to do in the Johnstown area. Would you agree with that?
Okay.
There are times when God pulls us back from the front where the war is just constantly raging. And when He does, don't feel guilty. When God ordains a time of rest, don't feel guilty about it. Don't try to say, well, I'll just get up and do this one thing. Sit down. Lay down. Rest in the Lord. The best thing you can do is what Mary did. Sat at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was fussing and fussing. And Jesus told her, Martha, Mary has chosen the best part. She has chosen to sit at the feet of the Master when she had opportunity to do so. When God gives you a time of rest, when He gives you a season of sitting at the feet of the Lord, stop kvetching. That's a little Yiddish word for stop belly aching. Stop complaining about it. Oh, I don't know what to do with myself. Go to the feet of the Lord. Find out what He wants for you. Get deep into the worship as we sang tonight. After we left on lunch on Wednesday, I went home to Leona's house and I said, Lord, what do I preach? What do I share? And He took me to the 23rd Psalm. Took me to the 23rd Psalm. I know it's for you, Brad and Kathy, personally, but it's also an application for your entire church and other guests that are here tonight. And he wants you to remember this, that while the kingdom of God is now, and hear my heart, the soldiers of the Lord are winning worldwide. With our media, we tend to think just the opposite, but Christianity, spirit-filled Christianity, is the fastest growing thing on the face of the earth. It is fast overtaking everything, everywhere, but you won't hear that in the media. We are winning. See, sometimes when we are in the midst of a heated battle, something that's attacking us personally, we can't see beyond that battle. We don't know what's going on the next ridge or on the next mountain or in the next valley. We think it's going bad for us, therefore the whole thing must be going bad. No, it's not. There just happens to be a moment in time where we are under heavy attack and we can't see the big picture. Battles rage back and forth, back and forth. There's times we have spurts of winning. There's times we come under heavy attack, but we never lose. Keep that in mind. See, it appears, it sounds like, and we are made to think that we are losing when actually just the opposite is true. We're winning, and that's why the enemy is threatened. We're being effective. Satan is still actively working in the hearts and minds of the people. That the fullness of the kingdom is now, but it's not yet. He still has dominion in some areas. And it won't be until the Lord returns and puts everything under his feet that we will have the absolute fullness of the kingdom in all of its majesty. But in the meantime, God wants us to know that he loves us. He wants you to know that he's for us, and he has already won this victory. He has already won this victory. He is the one that started this church, BCK, and what God begins, God finishes. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the 23rd Psalm. And as I sat down to put this together, the Lord began to give an exegesis, or a breaking down, of all the different words in this psalm so that we can get the full impact of what God is saying to us. At verse 1, it says, "The Lord, the self-existent one, the eternal God of all gods, Jehovah the Lord, is my shepherd." He's the eternal keeper of the flock called the church. He is the one with whom I associate. I am a companion of, I am a friend to, and I keep company with the pastor of my soul. All of that is in that one little verse part. And it goes on to say, "I shall not want." Actually, what it means is, I do not want. There is nothing I have a lack of. I'm fine mentally, physically. I know you'll question that. That's all right. Mentally, physically, emotionally, there's nothing that I need or want that he does not fill me up with. I will never be in want. I will never fail or even lessen in any area of my life. I'm constantly growing in the things of the Lord. I will continue to grow. I will continue to strengthen. I will continue to increase because he is my shepherd and he is my constant friend and my companion. Isn't that worth one amen?
Amen.
Two amens. Hallelujah. Woo, we're getting into big time here. Verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He causes me to lie down in perfect peace. He brings the counterbalance to my life when I am in turmoil or weary. He brings his composure and he brings his peace to equalize all the things that the enemy attacks me with. He makes me to lie down. He causes me to sit and rest in the places that are green and lovely and filled with the presence of his life-giving spirit and the peace of mind of the Lord God Almighty. He makes me sit there because he knows I need it. He causes me to have the Sabbath rest which is found only in His presence. The pastures wherein He leads me are places of restoration and peace, according to Ezekiel 34:15, where it says this, I will feed my flock, and I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord God. Even in the Old Testament, He was already preparing these places of rest and peace for us. So God is telling us that He is leading us into places of Sabbath rest. We really don't know much about the Sabbath rest here in the United States. We have a day off of work, but we go out and mow the lawn, or we go do whatever we want to do, or whatever. I'm not judging anybody. I'm simply trying to get a point across. We don't take a Sabbath rest. And because of it, our bodies begin to break down. Our spirits begin to grow weak because we're not nourishing ourselves in the presence of the Lord. It is good to come to church. It is good to worship. But what do you do when you go home?
Amen.
Come on.
Come on, sister. Come on.
Are you hearing what He's saying to you? Brad and Kathy, are you hearing what He's saying to you? You need to rest. And I will say this in front of your people. Turn off your cell phones. Let them have some rest. Can that be any more direct? Just like sheep, we don't understand what we need. Forgive me, I'm so dumb. There's times that God is talking to me and talking to me, talking to me, and I go, yep, mm-hmm, I hear you, mm-hmm, sure, uh-huh. And He said, will you listen? Whoop, yes, sir. It's kind of like He has to get a hold of us and shake us before we really understand what He's seeing, because we don't know what we need. But He does, and He says, if you will listen to me, I will lead you. And I will cause you to lie down in places of rest. And the pastures wherein He leads me are places of grace. The grace of the Lord. And it's in these places that I will find the provision for my soul.